Welcome to the will of God in the life and the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen, come, O divine will, to breathe in my breathing, to palpitate in my heart, to circulate in my blood. May every single act be for the praise and glory of God our Father, for the salvation of all souls from Adam to the last, and for the divine will to descend upon earth and to reign on earth as it reigns in heaven, amen. Mary, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome again to the Will of God in the life and the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta. Today we will continue with Volume 21. The next passage comes from March 31, 1927. And the title is, How the Soul Who Lives in the Divine Will is the Triumph of It. Threats of War. Men from all races. How the soul who lives in the divine will is the triumph of the divine will. The title tells us what this passage is going to talk about, that those who let the divine will reign in their soul, they become the triumph of the supreme fiat. The triumph of the divine will, by doing our acts in the divine will, the soul becomes the triumph of the supreme fiat. Luisa Picarreta writes, I felt all immersed and abandoned in the divine will, and while I continued my acts in it, my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, My daughter, the soul who lives in my divine will is the triumph of it. As the soul does her acts in it, it releases its virtue by location, which, following through all creation, extends its divine life in it. Therefore, the soul who lives in my will gives me the occasion to bilocate my life as for many acts as she does. This is why. Not only is she triumph of my will, but I receive more honor from the soul who acts in it than from the whole of creation. Jesus is able to bilocate in each one of us. In the same way that our Lord is able to bilocate himself in all consecrated hosts throughout the whole world, our Lord Jesus is able to bilocate his divine will in the creature. Jesus is able to bilocate himself in us as many acts as we do in the divine will. This is what makes the soul expand. The acts done in the divine will is what allows the soul to receive more of God. In every single act that we do united with the will of God, Jesus is able to bilocate himself in every single act that we do. In other passage from the Book of Heaven, from Volume 20, December 19, 1926, our Lord says that one additional act of the soul in my will is an embodiment of God in the creature and of the creature in God. In one single act, in every single act that we do united with the will of God, God is able to embody the creature, and the creature is able to embody God. It's an exchange of love between God and the creature, a perfect exchange of love between God and the creature. The creature loving God at God's own level. Let's continue. In fact, in creating each thing, God placed in some the shadow of his light, in some the notes of his love, in some others the image of his power, in others the blossoming of his beauty. Therefore, each created thing has something that belongs to its creator. But in the soul who lives in the divine fiat, God places all of himself. He centralizes his whole being in her. And by locating in her, he fills the whole creation with the acts that the soul does in his will, in order to receive from her love, glory, and adoration for each created thing which came out of our creative hands. What our Lord is saying that in each created thing, he has placed something on himself. We see in the sun, we see the light. In the sea, we see the power, the force, in the wind. In nature, we see the beauty of God displayed in creation. In man, we see the attributes of God, the divine qualities that God bestows upon the creature. We see that all creation is filled with the presence of God. Our Lord says that in the soul who is in the divine will, he is able to bilocate himself totally in that, to centralize himself. So the whole of creation can be centralized in the creature. That's why the soul becomes the triumph of the supreme fiat, the triumph of the will of God, because Jesus, by bilocating himself in us, as many acts as we do in the divine will, he's able to receive more honor from the soul who does her acts in the will of God. And when he unites, the creature unites himself or herself to the will of God, then God is able to deposit everything in that soul. That's what he is telling us. In other part of the Book of Heaven, volume 26, June 4, 1929, our Lord says, "My daughter, as man's soul keeps operating in my divine will, so much more does my will expand within it, and in such a way that for each additional act the soul accomplishes in my will produces that much more growth within it. Thus the divine life can be seen growing within the soul in an admirable way. But this is not all. As the divine life grows within the soul, the more acts it is able to accomplish in my divine fiat, the more it grows within the womb of its heavenly fathers. The more acts we do in the divine will, the more capacity we acquire to receive God, to love, the more capacity we acquire so that God can be corresponded on behalf of everybody. So, one who lives in it, meaning in the divine will, places herself in relation with all created things, and taking to heart the honor of her Creator, through the same relations which she receives for each thing, from the tiniest to the greatest, she sends out the return of her relations for all that her Creator has done. Therefore, all communications are open between the soul and God. The creature enters into the divine order and enjoys perfect harmony with the Supreme Being, and because of this, she is the true triumph of my will. All the communications are open between God and the creature who lives in the divine will, it says. It opens the communications and it brings order in the soul. It brings harmony. The creature is able to love his Creator at his own level. Thus, God receives the perfect correspondence of love from his creature on behalf of everybody. On behalf of everybody he receives. In volume 13, February 2nd, 1922, our Lord says the following to Luisa. Acts done in my will are like the sun. Everybody receives the light, the heat, and the benefits that the sun contains, and one cannot prevent another from enjoying its benefits. All enjoy it, and in this sense may be said to be owners of the sun. Hence, everyone can say, the sun is mine. In the same way, the acts done in my will, far greater than the earth's sun, are wanted and demanded by all souls. This is what happens when we immerse ourselves in the divine will. It says, the past generations await these acts. The past generations await them so as to receive the dazzling light of my will in everything they have done. That when we unite ourselves in the divine will, our acts will cover those actions that those generations in the past have done already. The light that emanates from these acts done in the divine will, our Lord says, will cover all the acts of all the generations in the past. Let's read again. The past generations await them, meaning the acts, so as to receive the dazzling light of my will in everything they have done. The present generations await them so as to feel themselves invested by light. The future generations await them for the fulfillment of the good that they will do. In other words, my will is myself, and the acts done in my will always circulate within the timeless will of eternity to become the light, the life in all. The light that these acts done in the divine will emanate, this light will cover all the actions of all generations in the past. In the present, the acts of creatures in the present will be vested with this light that come out from these acts that people do in the divine will. And in the future, these acts will be covered with the light that emanate from the acts done in the divine will. So that's why it covers all generations, past, present, and future. Because these acts united in the divine will are placed in the timeless will of eternity, our Lord says. Let's continue with our text in volume 21. On the other hand, one who does not live in my will lives with the human will, and therefore all communications with the Supreme Being are closed. Everything is dishonor and disharmony. Her relations are with her own passions, and to her own passions she sends her acts. She knows nothing about the news of her Creator. More than a serpent, she creeps on the earth, and she lives in the disorder of human things. When we live in the divine will, when we unite our acts in the divine will, this brings order, this brings harmony. And our Lord says, on the contrary, the one who lives apart from the divine will, the one who lives in the human will, everything is disorder. It is the passions, it's harmony. She's sending her acts to her own passions. So we see how powerful our acts done in the divine will. These acts affect all generations, past, present, and future. It allows the creature to expand the capacity to receive, and it allows God to give. It places the creature and God in a perfect correspondence of love. Let's continue. Therefore, the soul who lives in her human will is the dishonor of mind and the defeat of the divine fiat in the work of creation. What sorrow, my daughter, what sorrow, the human will that wants to defeat the will of its creator, who loves it so much and who wants it in his own triumph, which is the triumph of the creature herself. What sorrow that the human will wants to be something apart from God. What sorrow that the human will wants to govern herself apart from God. And this is what happened in the fall. Adam wanted to be God without God. The human will, which was created by God, wants to defeat the will of his creator. The human will, again, wanted to be God without God. This simply cannot be, because the human will is created, and the divine will is uncreated, is God. The triumph of the creature is to be in complete union with the one who created her, God, and his will. How do we acquire this union? Well, we have to be in the state of grace. We have to do everything, my brothers and sisters, to be able to be in the state of grace, to practice this spirituality too. Each sacrament unites us more perfectly to the body of Christ. In baptism, we are united to God. We become sons and daughters of God Most High. The divine life is implanted in our hearts and our souls through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we become members of the Blessed Trinity, members of the divine family, of the royal family, which is the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We become the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity. So we are united to God. And through the other sacraments, we are united more perfectly to Him. So it is necessary that with every single act that we do, we may be more perfectly united to Him, who is everything. This was the mistake of our first parent, Adam, that he wanted to be God without God. Some of us, so many people, they try to be something apart from God. And this cannot be, because we belong to Him. He made us. We are the work of His hands. He created us. We are clay. This is what we hear from the prophet Isaiah. Oh God, our Father, you created us. We are clay. We are the work of your hands. We are nothing. You are our Father. You created us out of love. The creature cannot be apart from her creator. Our Lord Jesus tells us, without me, you can do nothing. He didn't say you can do 10, 20, 30% without me. He says, without me, you can do nothing. Because without God, the creature remains empty. So the triumph of the creature is to be united with her creator. This is what brings honor to God. Let's continue. Then I was lamenting to Jesus because of his privations, since now, maybe more than ever, he is making me suffer his distance for a long time. Yet he tells me that he loves me. Who knows whether he will end up leaving me completely. So Luisa feels the privation of our Lord. She feels the absence of our Lord, and she complains. So many times we do the same. We don't feel the presence of our Lord, and we don't feel the strength to pray. But in those moments, we have to remember that we are called to believe. We are called to remain faithful. We are called to hope and to love. But while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus moved my interior and surrounded me with light. In that light, he made me see wars and fierce revolutions, civilians against Catholics. One could see all races fighting and all of them in the act of preparing for more wars. And Jesus, all afflicted, told me, "My daughter, you do not know how my burning heart wants to run with love toward the creatures. But as it runs, they reject it while they run toward me with the most brutal offenses and with the most horrendous pretenses." Our Lord, his heart is burning with love for us. He's bursting with love for each one of us. This is what he's telling to Luisa Picarreta, that his heart is bursting with love for each one of us. And the creature, instead of running towards him with love, the creature is running toward him with offenses, offending him. So in seeing my love persecuted, my justice enters the field to defeat my love, striking with scourges those who persecute me and uncovering the pretenses they make, not only with me, but also among themselves as nations. Because in cheating each other, they reveal that instead of loving each other, they hate each other fiercely. This century can be called the century of the most awful pretenses. And among all classes, they never find an agreement. And while apparently it seems that they want to agree, in reality they are plotting new wars. Pretense has never brought true good, either in the civilian order or in the religious order at the most. Some shadows of fleeting good. Therefore, now they are turning that peace, which was praised with words, not with deeds, into preparations of war. Our Lord Jesus tells us that as he is burning with love for us, as his heart is bursting with love for us, the creature again is plotting evil. And this still is true in our time. It's true in our time that the creature, the anger, the atrocity, the evil that the human will is able to do, it seems like it has no limits. This is what provokes the justice of God. But our Lord wants us to turn back to him, and we have to remember that through the sacrament of confession, we have to return back to our Lord. We have to repent. We have to ask the Lord to give us the grace to overcome all our tendencies, all our vices, all that is not from him, to fill us with his grace, with his love, with his mercy, with all his virtues, and to give us the grace to live in this way, in this spirituality, the spirituality of living in the divine will, which is a gift given to us. And how blessed we are that in our times we have this gift that our Lord is offering to all of us. And this is a great act of love and mercy. This is a great act of mercy that our Lord has given us this gift now. That gradually he has revealed to us these gifts. And now, through this gift of living in the divine will, he has given us the opportunity to praise, to adore, to glorify him, to return to him what is due to him, not only on our behalf, but on behalf of all the human race. And that through our acts, these acts done in the divine will bring order and harmony and peace and love between God and our soul, and then it will expand to others. It will affect the acts done by the generations in the past. This light that emanates from the acts done in the divine will cover the acts done for all generations in the past, and this light will cover also with light the acts done in the present, and it will open the door for those in the future. It will cover with light those acts done in the future also. This is what our Lord tells us. So we have to believe and we have to ask the Lord to help us, and we have to keep reading, to keep doing acts in the divine will. Do not despair, do not give up, but take courage, be filled with faith and hope and love, knowing that in every single act that we do in the divine will, our Lord is present there, that He is expanding our capacity to receive, that He is bilocating Himself in every single act, and He's able to do this. Just as He is able to bilocate Himself in every single host consecrated throughout the world, He is able also to bilocate Himself in every single act, so that He will start living in us. He will be able to sanctify every single act that we do. So be filled with strength, be filled with faith, be filled with courage, knowing that the Lord is in every single act that we do. Let's continue. As you can already see, many different races have united to fight, some with one pretext, some with another, and more will unite. But I will use the union of these races because of the coming of the kingdom of my divine will. It is necessary to have the union of all races. It is necessary that this gift be preached, be known to all races, to all peoples. Because this gift is for everybody. Everybody is able to live in the divine will. We just have to want to receive this gift. We have to know it. We have to love it. We have to embrace it. We have to desire it. All races have to come to know it. All peoples, all nations. Our Lord is able to bring good out of evil. And what He's saying that through this evil, all of this is happening in 1927. And as they are preparing for war, our Lord says that the union of these races, He will use this to bring about the gift of the divine will so that everybody will come to know it. So our Lord is able to bring good out of evil. We have to trust in that. And we have to just be faithful to Him and to do our acts in the divine will, knowing that He is there, knowing that He will be able to accomplish. In volume 19, May 31, 1926, our Lord says the following about the acts that the Lady, the Blessed Mother, did in the divine will. He says, "Her smallest acts done in the unity of this light were superior to the greatest acts and to all the acts of all the souls combined." Can you imagine one single act done in the divine will is greatest than the acts done outside of the divine will? Her smallest acts done in the unity of this light were superior to the greatest acts and to all the acts of all the souls combined. When we do acts done in the divine will, our capacity to receive is expanding. The Lord is bringing new light, new understanding, is bringing order. And He's bilocated in us. He's centralizing His whole being in the creature. That's why the creature then is able to embrace God. And God is able to embrace everybody in that single soul in the creature. The creature is able to embrace God on behalf of all the human race. It's like giving a hug to God, hugging God on behalf of everybody. And God giving you a hug. And in you, by hugging you, is hugging all the human race. It's an exchange of love. Let's continue. Through the union of these races, the people will get to know one another, and after the war, the spreading of the kingdom of my will be easier. Therefore, be patient in bearing my privation. This is the void that my justice wants to form. In order to defend my persecuted love. The creature is persecuting God with rejection. As He runs towards the creature with love, the creature is persecuting the Creator with sin, with offenses. Is persecuting this love. The Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus is bursting with love for all of us. The Sacred Heart of our Lord thirsts, is thirsting for our will. Therefore, you pray and offer everything so that the kingdom of my fiat may come soon. Pray and offer everything for the kingdom of the fiat, the coming of the kingdom of the divine will, so that the divine will may come and reign on earth as it reigns in heaven. This is what our Lord says to Luisa Picarreta at the end of this passage. Pray, offer everything, whether it is suffering, joy, everything. Offer everything as a prayer. This is the beauty about this spirituality too, that everything that is not a sin can be offered, can become a prayer that will call the divine will to come and reign on earth as it reigns in heaven. This is what happens also when we are united in the divine will. Every single act that we do in the divine will becomes like a magnet. A magnet that is calling the divine will to descend upon earth as it reigns in heaven. This is what our Lord says concerning the acts done in the divine will. This passage comes from volume 23rd, December 1st, 1927, and it says, the acts done in the divine will are the outpouring of God who, administering them to the soul, enables the soul to be filled with them, that is, unable to contain them. These acts done in the divine will are the outpouring of God who, administering to them, the soul, enables it to be so filled with them that it is unable to contain them. In this way, the soul pours them out anew and offers its divine acts to its creator. There is no blessing that does not descend through these acts accomplished in the divine will. Even the heavenly sovereign woman, the Blessed Mother, awaits the retinue of her acts so as to move God to make our supreme will come to reign on earth. So with every single act done in the divine will, the soul is filled with God and not being able to contain this love and this light that emanates from these acts, then the soul of the creature pours them out, and even the Blessed Mother feels this light, and the Blessed Mother is moved to ask for the gift of the divine will to come and reign on earth as it reigns in heaven. Let's ask our Lord to give us the grace to be always united in the divine will, that every single act that we do may be for the praise and glory of God our Father, for the salvation of all souls from Adam to the last, and for the divine will to descend upon earth as it reigns in heaven. Amen. I encourage all of you to continue reading the Book of Heaven and to continue listening to these programs. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.